Purpose Projects.
Welcome to another new episode of Purpose Projects, the podcast where we get to know people and businesses who are doing what they're doing for a greater purpose. As always, my name is Boris, and by my side, also like always, Moritz. Hey, Moritz.
Hey, Boris. And yes, this week, once again, it's all about water and plastic pollution. However, this time, of course, the Purpose Project is a different one. Today, we are pleased to welcome Virginia Jankelevich, or as we will call her, Virginia, the CEO of Dopper. You've never heard of Dopper? Well, Dopper is the reusable bottle that is putting single-use plastic water bottles out of business.
Yes, for sure. In this episode, you will learn all about how the idea of Dopper came about, how they bring together all different types of people and organizations and companies, and also their unique role in fighting plastic pollution by driving forward societal change, among a lot of other things. So guys, enjoy our new episode and have fun.
Here we are, Virginia. We are very happy to welcome you to our podcast. Thank you for joining us.
Cool, thank you.
Well, before we start to talk about Dopper and what makes it special, why don't we start off immediately with you as Virginia? So what's your background and what led you to Dopper?
I don't know how far I have to go.
Well, we have 30 minutes.
No, okay. So I make the short story. When I was 13, I already worry a lot about people with no access to education and poverty in the south of Argentina. I'm coming from the big city, but I really worried when I was already very young, and I thought that things were not fair divided between people. So I decided to join a group of volunteers, kids like me, and we traveled to the south of Argentina to help people bringing clothes and books. And I was really impressed by what was happening there because I saw that people were walking for 5 hours sometimes to go to school and even longer to get access to water. And then I made a documentary and it was on national television, so I was so happy. And then I decided to be a journalist to tell all those stories to the world. This was my dream. So I thought, okay, nobody knows what is happening there, you know? So I thought maybe if I am a journalist, I can tell those stories. And then I started working as a journalist in Argentina. And then during one of my trips for holidays to the Netherlands, I fell in love. And this is like 21 years ago. And I moved to the Netherlands and I was then 24. So I took two suitcases and four boxes, moved to the Netherlands. And then I had different jobs in marketing, communication, PR, mostly in consumer electronics. I don't know why did I end there, but I became a specialist in consumer electronics. And then it comes the part that I wanted to do something more purpose-driven. And I don't know if you want me to continue.
We're just letting you talk, but you could elaborate as long as you want.
Yeah.
The listeners, they can't see us nodding the entire time. But of course, this part where we're going to elaborate on your purpose-driven decision is actually why we did this podcast. So
tell us all about it. This is the whole thing that in 2016, I was traveling for the brand I was working, which I was really proud of. And I was in Bulgaria for a meeting with a distributor. And I was like kind of nerdy. Every time I finished a meeting, I went to my room and I wrote the notes and to know exactly what we spoke with that customer. And the brand was growing and growing. And then I was in that room in that hotel in Bulgaria. And I don't know what happened, but I started feeling pain. Like and uncomfortable, and I don't know, all those images of the projects from when I was a little girl helping people went all of those through my mind, and then I asked myself, what am I doing all this for? So running, leaving my family because I traveled a lot, and then what was the end purpose of all the things I was doing. And it was, at the end, was money, and not for me, but for the company. So then I thought, okay, what if I use all this energy that I have and the knowledge and the experience, my own power, to do something that makes sense?
So use your powers for good.
Yeah, use my power for good. And then, but I don't know, sometimes, then I read a lot about it, but I know now that when you are very young, it's already defined where are you going to take the energy from? But it's sometimes a long journey, you know, if you move from country, and sometimes you don't know. What is happening inside until you see the light. And it was that night when I was there, was that moment that I decided to change. But it's not that you change from 1 minute to the other, right? It's like it's a whole process.
That's basically really interesting that you touch on that, because that's what I actually wanted to ask you next. We're asking a lot of our guests basically about that moment or that switch where this transition happens in their heads, like when they're, as you're describing it, that they're starting to understand that what they're doing is not actually something that they should be doing or really want to be doing. Would you say that this particular night, was there a moment, or I don't know, something you discussed with your clients that led you to this? Or would you say this was a long time process and there were like a lot of small things accumulated that led you to this night and understanding that I basically want to do something completely else?
Yeah, I think it's a process. But for me, it was like that day, it felt like it was really a success, what I was doing. It went so good that then I thought, okay, and then what? What's next? Okay, so then more customers and more revenue. And more. So it was maybe the success that I didn't know where it was leading to, that led me think of all those things that I was doing when I was young. So I think that what I was doing when I was a little girl was me, and was the one that I wanted to be. And the rest was a process and my journey to get there. And maybe now I think, okay, maybe I should have started before. But then I think, no, it's okay. This was my journey, my process. And now I take all this knowledge to the upper and to my future. But if I, from when I was 13, already jumping to the upper, then I didn't bring any knowledge and any experience.
Okay, but those are high expectations you set for yourself in that moment, being like, okay, I want to be purpose driven. I want to do something good. I want to do something that the little Virginia could be proud of.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Dopper. What makes Dopper different to all the other bottle companies out there?
Well, for me, it was like that night I said I want to do something that makes sense. But especially I have a lot with water. I love scuba diving, and water is essential in life. For me, it's the basic. So you can work for a lot of purpose-driven things. But I don't know. I wanted to do something that I'm really proud of, that when I talk, I think really makes sense. So things like poverty or water, those are things that for me make sense. So then I thought, okay, I remember that once I bought a Dopper. I think I was the first ones, and I had one at home, and everyone asked me, what is this for a product? And then I said, Dopper. And then I was going to a coach, and we spoke about it, and I said, okay, I want only to work for Dopper. So I put this in my mind. I sent a letter to Dopper, and then they were looking for an account manager in UK or something. I don't remember, but I just applied for a job that didn't fit with me, just to come to a conversation. And then we had a conversation, and for me, it was like coming home. And it was so nice, because the person that was having my job left the company at that moment, and I could enter for this great position to lead an amazing mission-driven company from day number one.
But why Dopper? So you had the bottle, but
why Dopper? Because of water. Because the mission of Dopper is to empower people to choose reusable over single use. So what Dopper want is to change behavior, to make people aware of what they are doing and what they are using, and change behavior by not by finger pointing and saying, oh, you're doing something wrong, but by inspiring people and telling which change you can make by just a very simple change in your daily life. And then, yeah, I thought this is something I want to, and I want to protect the ocean. Then Dopper is also helping a lot of people in Nepal to have access to safe drinking water. So I thought, oh, wow, this is all the combination of, on one side, preventing people to enter more single-use water bottles into the ocean, and on the other side, making the circle round and help people with no access to drinking water. Then for me, it was like, okay, this is the place I want to be every day working for.
So today, Dopper has this famously quoted cradle to cradle certification. Maybe just basically break it down for our listeners. What does Dopper, or how does Dopper benefit from this cradle to cradle certification? You just mentioned that you guys want to change the societal behavior of people. Does such a certification in this case help people to decide easier to buy a Dopper bottle, or what are the factors that make people like you back in the day buy a Dopper bottle?
When the owner of Dopper decided to build up the point is that I want to tell you a bit about how Dopper started, because then it comes is easier to explain you about the cradle to cradle certification. The owner of Dopper is Merijn, and Merijn was walking in the beach one night, and with his friends, they saw all kind of trash and waste laying on the beach, and also some trash in the beans and a lot of trash around the beans after a very nice, beautiful, hot day on the beach. And then he thought, okay, what will happen with all this trash? So he thought that monster trucks will come and pick it up. So he said to his friends, you can just go home. I will stay and I will wait to see what is happening with all the waste laying on the beach. And then now they only clean the beans, and everything was laying in the beach. And then the tide of the ocean was taking all this waste into the ocean. And then most of the trash that was laying there was plastic bottles and plastic bags, straws. So he went home and he thought, okay, I have to create the best alternative to replace these single-use water bottles, because in the Netherlands we have safe drinking water coming from the tap. So why should people buy those bottles? It doesn't make any sense. So he wrote a competition, and 100 people apply and make a design, because he thought, I need to have the perfect alternative, otherwise people will still buy those bottles. And this Dopper won, because you can the opening of the bottle is exactly the same diameter as a normal mineral water bottle. You can use it as a cap. When you open, you can drink from a cap, like if you have a glass. And the thing that made it round for the winner is, when you turn the bottle around, you put tap water on a pedestal. So you make a tap water important again. But then he said, okay, I want to have this bottle, this design, but I don't want to put waste into the world. I want to have the product with the least waste possible, made with the best materials, and I want to have it cradle to cradle certified. So this means minimize waste and maximize all resources.
Sorry, just a quick question. So the Dopper design, was that like really the beginning of Dopper the company? So Merijn did like a competition? Is that how it all started?
The mission started before. He had the mission, and he collects a lot of people that were thinking the same, and then he creates the bottle. Was like a competition, and was the winner was Rinke from Remortel. It's a Dutch guy, and he made this design. And then he said, I want to have, okay, great, I will put a product in the world, but I want to have it made with the best materials possible, and I want to have it cradle to cradle certified. And I want to be part of B Corp, and I want to be... So it was not just, oh, I want to have a product, because the mission was first. And the mission is not only this. It's in everything that we do. Try to be best in class.
Okay. So now we talked about, like, or we heard the term cradle to cradle. Just to come back to Boris' question, what does cradle to cradle actually mean?
That to minimize waste and maximize resources, if you talk about like in general, but it means that what we want, the principle is circularity, so that all materials used at the end of the life of one product can be reused for the same or another product without loss of quality. So that's the cradle to cradle. And for us, indicates that our bottles are produced responsibly and sustainably, and that they contribute to the well-being of people and the environment. So, and it's for us also an international recognition, a certification that confirms that we are on the right path. The original bottle is has been certified in 2014. Next year, we will have it gold certified. This means really the best you can have. And also all the other products of the Opera also certified.
Okay, then just maybe for like dumb users, for myself maybe, you guys want to reduce plastic waste. That's your huge mission. You might know why I'm asking this.
But let me guess. You will ask why you are bringing a plastic bottle when you want to.
So you've heard the question before. It's okay.
No. I ask this question when I apply for the job, so I understand the question.
So what's the answer? So you're reducing plastic waste, but your bottles are made of plastic.
Yeah, the answer is that it's not single use. It's a bottle that you will reuse and reuse and reuse. And that the choice for plastic was made to because it's a very light material. And the idea was to have the best alternative for. It's not possible now in the Netherlands to produce bottles made of recycled material yet that you use for food. But we are on top of to see, okay, actually, we would love to make the circle round, so to make it from recycled plastic. But then we know that, for example, in Germany, people don't prefer to drink from steel or from glass. Therefore, we have created models, and the one that you have, made of steel and of glass. So we are aware that some people have other choices for materials.
So you just touched on Marijn's idea from a couple of years ago, from the start of his mission and the idea to until today. Today is 2020. We're talking right now. I have some sort of a two-part question. When Moritz and I are going to the Netherlands, there's basically not one concept store where you cannot find a Dapper bottle. So that basically means that Dapper is a huge success. Two-part question. What impact do you already have achieved, and what's the overarching goal? And sort of connected to that, what are the main factors for Dapper's success, not only maybe in the Netherlands?
Well, actually, it's a worldwide problem. So being a world player in the Netherlands is not the goal. But what we know is that when I arrived at Dapper 3 years ago, only 21% of the people knew the mission. And all the others bought the product because they like the product. So we work very hard the last years, and we will continue to tell the mission. So no bottle leaves the store or the website or an event without telling the mission. So our idea is not to sell as much as bottles as possible. Our idea is to have a huge community of intrinsically motivated people that want to change their behavior. Then we are done. And what we achieve is that we know that when somebody buys a Dapper, they save an average of 40 mineral water bottles a year, average, and which represents an amount of kilos plastic that will not enter the ocean.
It's been a while, but I think it's like last year, I saw a musician, he had the decision to say, okay, my entire team is going to use Dapper bottles. And he showed that impact too. Like you just said, these 40 water bottles, he had this huge crew, and he just showed these huge single-use plastic waste, which he usually would have had. And he just said, okay, that was such a small decision for me and my team, but it had such an impact. So yeah. Maybe it's that simple for many of us. So good job.
Maybe touching back on your, sorry to interrupt, Virginia, but I have a connecting question to what you just said. You just said that 21% only 3 years ago when you started knew about your mission. So how does that influence your next moves and where Dopper is?
Everything. This was, for me, so bad news. And then I start looking, okay, how is possible? How is possible that that people get a bottle? And then I understood what's the problem, that the half of the business, even more, was business to business. And so people were getting bottles at events with the logo of the event or with the logo of a company. And then you have a chain of that we sell it to somebody and this person sell it to the event. And then what you want is to have control that everyone tells the mission. And then so then we really change a lot in the strategy and in trainings and in workshops and in telling the mission to everyone. And then making choices, which channels do you sell, to whom do you give the bottle. So now if an event call us, we want to have Doppers, and we ask a lot of questions. And we want them to sign the Dopper Way, to join the movement, to not on one side giving the bottles to every guest and on the other side selling mineral water bottles in the same event. And this is what we are now changing.
That's the Dopper Wave, right?
That's the Dopper Wave. But also you have to engage everyone in your company and every partner in the Dopper Wave. And now what we see is that our customers, so last week we signed the Dopper Wave with a very big retailer in the Netherlands, the Bayerncorf, and they will avoid 65,000 water bottles by signing the wave per year that they will not sell or reuse. And this is what we want. But this is my customer. So my customer in the past, he only bought bottles. He was telling the mission. But now he's part of the, it's not only a customer. It's part of the wave. It's part of the change. So this is what we want to create. So everyone that is with us, it's part of the change.
So is your mission necessarily linked only to your bottle? Or could there be maybe a focus in the future to, produce other products under the name of Dopper, but with the same mission?
Really nice, with the same mission. Many times, because we are so popular in the Netherlands and kids love our brand, they always ask me, are you going to make Tupperwares or backpacks?
Yeah, for example.
Because they love your brand. And then I say, but this is not our fight. We are focused on the single-use water bottles. So we want to keep the focus. The only thing that we add to the portfolio was the no excuses assortment. So we have also a thermo. We have bigger bottles, smaller, glass, steel, but always related to the mission. If it's not adding anything to the mission, it doesn't make any sense for us to put any effort.
Okay, that makes sense. But isn't your business model then like limited to those countries or to those people living in regions who can access to clean tap water?
But don't you think that is really huge? We still have so many places to go. That day that we are done, we speak again. The day that everyone is having a reusable water bottle in the countries that there are that water is coming from the tap clean, I will be really happy. And that the mineral water bottles disappear from supermarkets, and wow. So I'm not afraid that our mission is this year done, I hope.
Let's start with Germany first, then the rest of Europe.
I will love it. It's such a big market.
So you just touched very briefly also on the Dopper Wave. Could you maybe elaborate a little bit more on that? How did you guys basically come up with the idea to create such a movement or take such an action to unite a lot of people, organizations, companies, whatsoever, under this particularly recognizable name, the Dopper Wave?
Yeah, the Dopper Wave exists actually from the beginning of Dopper, but with another name. Because it was always the idea that people will sign like a kind of contract of a pledge to say no to single-use water bottles. And what we want to create is a big wave of change. And we think that the only way to do that is by engaging with organizations and individuals. And especially with organizations, what you can get is, for example, if you work for a bank and your bank signs this pledge, and there is not going to be any water bottle anymore in the office, and somebody tells you this, the CSR manager or somebody, then you go home or you go to your friends and you tell the story again. So then we believe that that we can multiply a lot by engaging with organizations. And what we see is that when they engage with the wave, they also change things concerning waste and meat and a lot of things, because we inspire them. But the wave is, the idea is that organizations, individuals, schools, or anybody that wants to join signs a pledge to commit to four things. Number one is to ban single-use water bottles. So from your office, from your house, from your events. Number two is to drink from the tap whenever you can. Number three is to always bring your own reusable bottle. And number four is to encourage others to join the wave too.
I like that. I like that. So you guys are all about impact, especially Doppler, the products, the wave. Now we heard all about it. In your introduction, you also said you guys do work in Nepal. So rather simple question. What impact have you already achieved with Doppler?
In Nepal?
In Nepal, or whatever you want to tell us about.
Oh yeah, in Nepal, we have chosen to work in Nepal because they have one of the largest reservation of sweet water in the world, coming from the Himalayas, but they don't have access. So because of no infrastructure, or because of plastic pollution, so we have decided to help there with to place water taps in villages where people are really in remote areas, and give education around hygiene and sanitation on those places with a partner. The name is Simaavi, and we are part of the WASH program. And last year, we have decided to increase the investment by investing in Smartpani. And this is an organization that creates filters, water filters for home or for libraries or for schools, to filter rainwater with bioscent, and then you can have your own filter at home. And the good thing about this investment is actually that the change is not all people in Europe investing in Nepal, and then, you know, it's like investing in a local entrepreneur who is going to make a change in his own country. And we also have decided to put all our education programs that we have, the Changemaker Challenge Senior and Junior, also in Nepal. So to empower the kids and the students to think of solutions for plastic and water problems.
Yeah, those people who are listening right now and don't know what the Changemaker thing is, it's you guys encourage students from schools and from colleges to submit work, right? Or submit topics.
Yeah, because we believe that education is one of our big pillars. We have awareness, education, and change. And education is very important, because if you are at school or in university and you start talking already about those problems and you feel empowered to do something, then it's going to happen. And if you don't know about it, then nothing is going to happen. So what we have decided is to empower kids from 8 to 12 from schools to think of solutions for plastic and water. And also universities, so students from design studies or communication, but also engineering, every kind of solution to solve the water and plastic problem. And then they can win a prize, so they can send us the best solution, and then we have a prize and we can make a prototype of the solution that they submit.
That's quite an interesting point that you're touching on. You're talking about kids and youth and, basically young people in university or working environments that basically have to switch their mindsets. And that's what I want to touch on real quick. Your mission basically is all about changing your mindset and changing your social behavior that you are used to exercise over the last, I don't know, maybe your whole life or a couple of years, and you guys want people to change that. That's quite a big societal change. I don't know how it is in the Netherlands, but right now in Germany, we also have this kind of discussion when we talk about meat. Vegan meat or vegetarian meat is quite a big thing. And I don't know when it was, like a month or two ago, like some company sold for the first time more vegan meat than normal meat. And that was quite a big thing. And you can also see those societal changes gaining speed more and more. How do you see that process evolving in the Netherlands, especially not only maybe in terms of using more tap water, but sort of like more general societal problems that need to be tackled?
I see that people feel more responsible for the world they are living. And I think when you were talking about plastic soup 10 years ago, then people were looking at you, what are you doing? And now people take pictures doing a cleanup, you know, in a beach cleanup. So I think there is a trend, and it's not because I'm moving in a bubble, because I talk with a lot of people working for different organizations, but I see a trend, and I see organizations that want to join the wave that I think, what? This is really cool that you as a company want to move towards a change. And then I'm surprised. Sometimes I think, what happened? And I think what happens is that organizations and people realize that we have to, that this is the way to go. So if you don't move, if you don't change, then you are creating a very big problem, and people and consumers will not choose for you anymore as a company. And it's, I think that as individuals, then I think people feel more responsible. There is so much information now about meat and about traveling and about plastic. Come on, we have to move. We have to take action, and we have to stop only reading it, and we have to do something about it.
Yeah, it's a constant fight. Actually, we had Sean Franks, and I think on our second episode already here, and he was also talking about this choice every consumer actually has, but also, of course, this role of the companies in this fight. You just mentioned they have huge impact, just like the consumers. But of course, we're also noticing now in the corona crisis, single-use plastic, I think the numbers are going up again due to hygiene rules where people think, okay, I'm going to use something, throw it away again. So yeah, Doppler still has a long way to go, but it's a fight worth fighting. And for this fight, I wanted to ask you that when you were talking about Nepal, you said you're investing in these projects, and of course they're supposed to be sustainable, and you're working with regional partners. Do you, or where do you take the money from to invest in these projects? Do you have like a fixed amount from your profits you always use? Why don't you tell us about
that? That's a good question. We used to have a foundation, the Doppler Foundation, where 5% of the revenue was going there. And then what was nice about it is that people told me, only 5% you donate? And what are you doing with the rest of the money? But the rest of the money was going to education projects, to awareness, to the change on all these projects cost money, and all the marketing around the mission of Doppler. So we have decided to stop with the Doppler Foundation, because actually it's 100% of what we do is for Doppler's mission. So it's not that everything we do is for the bottle and only Nepal is doing good. We are doing good all the time. So I don't want to have a differentiation between what we do in Nepal is as important as what we do here to protect our oceans. So there is now no percentage. Everything that we earn by selling the bottle is used for our team, but it's for the mission. Everything is for the mission. That's why Doppler exists.
That's a message I think our listeners can really get behind and understand what you guys are all about. Moritz, I don't know if you have any last question about Doppler itself. If not, then I would like Virginia to ask a couple of questions that we like to ask all of our guests in this podcast. we got to know you right now for the first time, like in person and talking to you, and you seem like a very motivated and energetic person. Question is, where do you get your daily inspiration from?
I read. I read a lot. I love reading. And
do you have the time as CEO? Just like a personal question.
For sure. I read, and nowadays I do podcasts.
Audiobooks.
Because sometimes I get tired, my eyes, you know, all the day, and then I love to hear stories, and normally it's about personal development, about stories. I love to read stories about other companies, development
in the
world.
Is there a specific company maybe that inspires you where you say, okay, they have like a similar mission like Dopper, maybe in a different field, but you can see similarities in the fight with societal change and so on?
Now, it's not a specific company. I like to see the move. I like to see the change, what's happening. You know, there is a wave. There is something moving. And I enjoy. And the stranger the company that contacts us, the happier I get. You know, last week I did a presentation for a company in food in cans and frozen food. And they want to be also a B Corp. And then I was so happy. Oh my gosh, why are you so happy? Because I was so happy that those companies want to do better, you know? And I didn't even know about those products. So I asked the guy, but frozen food is not good for the environment. And then he told me, you don't know anything about frozen food. He told me that 1/3 of the food is thrown away. And that frozen food. Nah, so, but I love learning. So I get all my energy by learning, I think, and by listening and reading.
Then you definitely now have to listen to our podcast. For example, 2 episodes ago, we had 2 Mexican entrepreneurs in our podcast that made vegan leather made out of cactus. Where Boris and I also, during the research, were like,
what?
One idea.
What the hell?
And it was such a sustainable business model. You can't believe it.
It was genius, actually.
You have to look it up. It's incredible.
But this is so interesting because you get inspired by listening all those ideas. There's so many good things. And I get also my inspiration. I like to emphasize of that there's so many good things happening. And when you read news, and it's always bad because it doesn't sell anything to say that there are 2 guys in Germany making a podcast about purpose. It's not commercial. It's more commercial to say that there are 1 million people with corona, you know? And I read also very good stories, and I get inspired about all the good things happening in the world.
I think that's a perfect ending to our episode. Thank you very much for being in our podcast, Virginia. We enjoyed the talk with you. And yeah, we are definitely going to do the Dopper Pledge. We're not even a company yet, but I mean, we're walking around with our Dopper bottles anyway. So we're going to do the Dopper Pledge, and we're going to encourage all our listeners. We know that a lot of SMEs are listening to our podcast. Maybe we'll inspire them with this episode, and I think we can all be very happy afterwards.
Thank you.
Thank you, Virginia. Thank you very much for the talk.
Wow, that's a wrap. Boris. It's going to be the first time we do this outro in English. Feels a bit weird right now, but Boris, how did you like the episode?
if you keep talking like that, it will be feeling even even more weird that we're doing this in English. And Virginia will think, man, what 2 weirdos. Awesome episode, awesome guests, awesome stuff to talk about with Virginia doing so much good work in the Netherlands and also trying maybe in the future to do it all around the world. But as of right now, they're focusing on the Netherlands and Germany and Europe. So a lot of great insights, a lot of inspiration, basically all the stuff that we were hoping for. How did you like it?
Yep. Well, not to sound like a weirdo, but I think I sometimes sound a bit like a weirdo during our episode. That's just because I'm wearing these weird headphones for the first time, and I can't hear my can't hear my voice with these noise cancellation. Really weird feeling. I can't recommend that.
That explains actually a lot of what you said, but that's another story.
No, it was a great fun with Virginia. We just also talked to her after our podcast episode, and yeah, she's so nice. She's so inspiring, and yeah, I learned a lot. Like in so many episodes we did in the past, this time feels special again. I don't know. Every episode, I have this feeling. Yeah, I loved it, and yeah, we're gonna do the Doppler Pledge, like I just said, and I think Doppler is a company that yeah, inspires many people out there, and especially with Virginia at the top as CEO, is a person yeah, who's in charge of this Doppler wave and yeah, achieving that wave.
Yeah, they definitely have a really, really bright future ahead, I think, under her. I'm not sure what you call it in English. I would say as her as CEO, as you just said, that they have a bright future ahead and a lot to look forward to. As you just said, we will pledge to the Doppler wave. Guys, if you did listen carefully to our episode, to the last 40 minutes, then you will certainly know what the Doppler wave is. If not, then you didn't listen, but you can check it out on the website of Doppler.
I think we should shut up now. We're repeating ourselves already, right?
Yeah, okay. I'm getting to an end, yeah.
Yeah, next time we're going to have a company which, in their own words, are unfucking the economy. So everybody should yeah, stay tuned and yeah, here for that episode. That's going to be in German, so sorry for the international listeners. And yeah, Boris, see you next time.
Thank you, Moritz. See you again soon.